This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
54 DGS. So we'll talk about this with Bernie Miklas several hours from now at 4 p.m. But Tory Holt, that sucks.
Yeah, it's beyond ridiculous now. And I'd probably put Reggie Wayne in the same category because they're in the same group from the same era with very similar numbers and very similar track records. But Tory Holt, once again, left out of the Hall of Fame. And Bernie will explain this really well later, the Cliff's Notes version that of what he said, because he was on Gas House today with Matt Pauly, and they got into this. Is essentially the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the last few years has changed the criteria that they use to select people. So they used to select five people a year, and they would start with a list of 15, whittle it down to 10, and then whittle it down to five, and those five would get in. And it's all done in a committee room. There are a group of people. Bernie used to be on that committee, so he knows it very well. And they talk about everything. It's not like baseball's Hall of Fame where it's all just
secret ballot,
and you can make it public if you want, but it's just you just turn in your ballot. There's no discussion about it. In the Pro Football Hall of Fame, there's a panel, and they discuss it. Like Howard Balzer is a guy that's on that panel right now, who would be representing the St. Louis, you know, football side of things. But they changed it so that now they go from 15 down to 7, and then from 7 you can only vote for 5. And then you have to meet 80% criteria to be in. So that's why there's only 3 this year in the modern era. And that's where a guy like Tory Holt gets screwed. And, you know, I don't understand why Halls of Fame think they need to be exclusive. You serve two purposes for a Hall of Fame. You are the teller of the history of the sport, and you are a mechanism for celebrating the sport. That's it. It's not a religious organization. We don't need to keep this to something.
Think more people should get it.
They should be celebrating, and I've argued this for baseball. They've had it wrong all these years. Celebrate five guys a year. Everybody knows it's coming. You can have a big party. You can make a big deal out of all those people, and think about all of the extra fans that will be engaged and care when their guys are in there versus, you know, only two guys getting in. They just all take it way too seriously, man. It should be about celebrating the sport, not about, you know, exclusivity.
This hour of the DGS is sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com.
GS KMOX. We have a very, very popular podcast nationally. You can get it at theodyssey.com. You can get it at iTunes or anywhere, Spotify. You can find it. We appreciate you guys doing that. Yesterday, we put up a podcast featuring my good friend Trish Gazelle and I called Dave and Trish, a podcast about grief, something like that. Andrew named it. And it's about an hour, 20 minutes. And it's the first part is Trish and I talking talking about our experiences as non-experts. It's fairly emotional, as you might think. Trisha's so good. Trisha's just the most likable. She's such a likable person, which makes me mad. I don't like being in the same place as her.
Likable and brutal at the same time.
Yes, but likable because of her brutality.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it's just you always know where you stand, which is great.
People always say that about me. Like Rachel always says, I've never met a human like Dave that can curse in front of the priest and rabbi, and they're totally fine with it. And I feel that way about Trish. She can call you out on something, and you're just like, I just like her. But it's there now if you want to listen to it. Razor's Edge?
Yeah, can I say one more thing about the podcast?
Of course.
So yesterday we used something called the skimmer, which like picks up everything that airs on the radio station, and it was down yesterday, so we couldn't make a podcast. So I posted on the Facebook, hey guys, there's not going to be a podcast today. I want everyone to know, it was not Andrew's fault. Everyone was posting and saying, like, great job, Andrew. Way to go. It's not Andrew's fault, I swear. And he didn't make the post either. Just wanted to clear that up.
It's nice of you. But he's not here today, so let's let him take the heat.
Sorry, I'm just texting Trish back, actually. Okay, so a couple of things I wanted to talk about. The first was, have we talked about this firefighter? Or did we talk about this off the air, Wheels?
I think off the air we did, yeah.
Okay, yeah, not on the air.
There was a firefighter who stole a wallet at a fatal crash scene in September of 2020. Okay, he was sentenced in September of 2024 to 3 years probation because he basically received stolen property and had fraudulent use of a credit card this past summer after stealing a card and $600 in cash off of a victim of a car crash. So pretty despicable stuff, right? You know,
incredible.
A first responder is supposed to be there to help you, and
yes,
he ends up robbing you. Of course, he left the department, but it turns out he resigned before he was able to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now he's back, and he's working as an inspector in the city's building division. He was hired in December to be a building inspector.
Yeah.
You might think, how is this possible? How can this happen? So it turns out when the city fires someone and they apply for a job to return, they flagged the application automatically, but since he resigned, nothing was flagged in his application, and he was just able to get this job. Now he's just sitting at the building department collecting a check from the city. I mean, I'm sure he's doing some work, but I find this such terrible PR for the city.
Did
it's
we
unreal.
Not discover this in his application? Did we not know who he was? Were we just completely blindsided by this?
My understanding is it's the same department that is over the top of the fire department too.
Yeah.
Right? So like it's in the same under the same umbrella.
Yeah.
Not the fire department, but under the same umbrella that covers the police department, the fire department, public works, the whole deal.
Okay, so let's take this a little bit different direction. He paid his debt to society. He wasn't sent to prison. He was given 3 years probation. I'm guessing he made it through that. I think it's a despicable thing to do, to use Rachel's word, great word. I don't think he should work for the city ever again. I don't think he should be kept from making a living or supporting himself or his family.
Nope.
But you shouldn't be doing it here. We don't want you here.
You're
not a good
trust.
Person. You broke the public trust. It's a public trust job. Or do you look at it and say, it doesn't matter what he did. He paid his debt and he deserves to have a job.
No, I think it's fine to have a job, but I don't see how working for the same employer, which is the city, that you would commit that kind of crime and then just be welcomed right back.
Yeah, like if I stole $500 from Dave Glover and then I resigned from the DGS because I'm found out, it'd be pretty crazy for Odyssey to then rehire me, right?
Yes. Yeah, like, hire you to go work for 97.1.
Yeah, the Annie Fry show.
That would be super weird.
And we all agree,
and
right?
And would never happen, by the
way. We all have different morals and different moral codes, and I'm no angel by any stretch, but taking money off a dead person, like, come on.
Well, it's. Okay, so Mayor Jones's office released a statement and said, recent reporting has made us aware that a former employee of the St. Louis Fire Department has been rehired to the building division despite a pre-existing criminal record. While the city of St. Louis is a proud second chance employer, which I think that's great. Like we were saying, like, you know, it's just this situation. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. We recognize that certain jobs are not appropriate for certain applicants based on prior actions, but they didn't come out and say that they're letting him go from this position.
Yeah. So it could be a big deal.
This is a building inspector, right? So
yes.
When are they all vacant buildings, or would there be inspections of occupied buildings?
Don't know.
It's a liability.
And if you've shown me that you will steal from a dead person, why wouldn't you steal from a living person? And again, I don't know this person. Maybe they completely changed. Maybe they have turned over a new leaf. Maybe they were in a bad spot. They've gotten help. They've gotten better. That's all possible, and I'm not judging that. I'm just judging it as an outside person, because if it goes wrong again, the city's getting sued.
Well, there are two
right?
ways.
If this same person is doing the job and that person ends up stealing from whatever, I mean, doing anything like that, then that company's going to be like, wait a minute, hold on. Why is this happening? Why did you have this person on there when everybody knew it?
Well, there are two stories here. One, this guy has the guts, the balls, to even try this.
Yeah.
And then secondly, is it one more example of incompetence by the city of St. Louis? That's the more interesting story
right,
to me.
That it wasn't bypassed, it was just never discovered?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And I know there are lots of rules about you can't ask this, you can't ask that, former employers can't do this or can't do that. But if someone committed a crime while working for the city, even though they resigned as opposed to being fired, that person should be on your radar.
Yeah.
So you should be better than that.
It's just a really unfortunate thing. Look, I live in the city of St. Louis. I have for almost 10 years now. I love it here. I don't think we have nearly the problems that a lot of times the media paints that we have. I think there's a lot of hope in this city. This is just a really unfortunate event, and it doesn't look good, and it just feeds into this narrative that there is incompetence.
No one's watching the store.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting process, right? Think about any time you've ever gone through being hired. You always list previous employers, right? So he would have had to have listed St. Louis City or the fire department
sure
or whatever.
Had to go through an interview.
And then the question would have to be, why did you leave the job? And if the answer was not forthcoming, if he didn't answer it, well, you're lying. And that should be a disqualifying factor. Or he said, I quit because I was maybe going to get fired because of this legal thing.
Can you ask about past criminal history? I don't know.
I don't know if you can ask specifically about that, but you can ask, why did you leave the job that you were last at? Mm. And if they don't tell you why, that's a problem, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on with Razor's Edge. Let's take a hard left turn. So recently, I don't know if this is just a function of me getting a little older, but every time I'm watching a movie, especially like an older movie, I'm wondering how old the actors and actresses are.
At that time. I do the same thing.
Okay, and do you Google it?
I do.
Every time.
And I'm always surprised.
Okay, I'm so glad you guys do this too, because I'm like, what's wrong with me? Why am I so obsessed with this? I thought we could turn it into a little game.
Yeah, nice.
And you guys could try to guess the ages of some of these,
I like it.
These folks. Okay, how about, and keep in mind, I'm going to have to be typing this into, I'm using Perplexity to tell me exactly how old they are. So what about Julia Roberts and Pretty Woman?
Oh, I want to say 28.
Okay.
It's a good one. Yeah, I agree.
Pretty.
Never seen it, but I know that was very early in her career.
Oh, don't watch it because it just ruins George Costanza. What's that?
Oh, yeah. Really?
He's so creepy in that movie.
Oh. He's a bad guy.
The first time I saw it, I was so upset. I couldn't watch Seinfeld for months afterwards.
Man.
He does a really good job playing a creep. Okay, you guys. Julia Roberts was 22 years old when she started.
She got an early start. Yeah.
Yeah.
It premiered in 1990 and catapulted Roberts into superstardom.
How old was Richard Gere?
Ooh, good question.
45.
Okay.
37.
Okay. Give me a second here. He was 40 years old.
Oh, right between.
In 1990. Okay, let's do Bruce Willis age in Die Hard.
The original?
Yeah, the original.
He's younger than he looked, I think. I want to say he was 35 then.
I'm going to go even younger. I'm going to say 33.
Dave gets it. He was 33 years. Now, he was 33 years old when Die Hard was released.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's good enough standard because that's when we saw it.
It's in the basic.
Yeah.
Okay, how about Denzel Washington? What's a good movie of his age? Let's try Training Day. Wheels is fave.
Oh, yeah, I'd say Training Day. He's probably... 52.
Whoa, really? I'm thinking more like 40.
It's in the middle. He was 46 years old.
He's ageless.
He is.
Really is. He's in his 70s.
He looks so good. Like, I mean, he looks incredible.
And like, he just made Equalizer 3.
Yeah.
Where he's whipping everyone's ass.
Yeah.
And he's 73 probably in that. That's amazing.
When he was 25, he looked 35. And when he was 65, he looked 35.
True, true.
Okay, let's do one more and then we'll take a break. The reason I thought of this is because I was Googling this actress. I was watching Casino. And then I ended up turning it off because there is some upsetting violence in that
movie.
Oh,
yeah. Heck yeah.
I just kind of didn't feel
a
like
lot.
Dealing with it.
Yeah.
How old was Sharon Stone whenever she starred in the movie Casino?
Boy, 38.
Yeah, sounds good.
She was 37. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
We're good at this. Woo-hoo-hoo! You should go pro.
Yeah, well, this, you know, it's kind of our generation, too.
Yeah. Loving Sharon Stone. You, baby child.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. Happy Friday, DGS 222. I'm just saying to the guys on the break, kind of apropos of the grief podcast that Trish and I did that's on the DGS page right now, that I was with my mom. I was with her all the time, but I was with her solidly the 20 years plus that when my dad and my brother passed away in 2002. I was with her every day for the 4 months that after she fell until she passed away. I was with her 6 hours before she passed away. I'm a fully grown person. I understand death. I knew that she was gone. I just didn't realize she was going to stay gone, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like it's just she'll be gone for a while, but she'll be back. And just having Super Bowl Sunday, whatever I did, I would always go over on Super Bowl Sunday, bring her a pizza, you know, talk about the game. And I just knew I was going to do that. And I'm not.
Right.
It's just the simple little things like that. You know, I haven't been, you know, ripping my clothes and weeping myself to sleep. It's those kind of things. That's my kind of style of grieving, is when you just pick up the phone to call. I found her cell phone the other day, and death is freaky, man. Just 1 minute someone's there, and the next minute they're gone, and they're mm-hmm. not coming back, and it's just weird.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Odd. And it hits everyone differently.
It does. Yeah.
And for different periods of time, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's and I was when you mentioned that during the break, I think, you know, I'm one of the points I made was like, well, yeah, your brain has 60 years of wiring with mom in it. So part of your brain doesn't have the same conscious logic that the other part does. You know, our brains are very weird and, you know, somewhat compartmentalized in some ways.
Yeah. And I think especially for a parent, and maybe especially for a mom.
Right.
And maybe especially for a mom and a son.
Sure.
You know, like, I'm really close with Phoebe, but she and her mom are like thick as thieves. Right. There's just different relationships that just are, you know, they're just closer, special somehow. But anyway, yeah, just for anyone out there who's grieving, I just wanted to say that to commiserate on occasions like this, like Super Bowl. Kev, I read a really interesting article today that was backing up historically, because I know you're Mr. Historical Empiricism, what are the facts, ma'am? And it was making the case that the rich have not always been a-holes. That being rich across history typically meant a huge amount of charity. And like what Jesse Eisenberg said on Bill Maher, which we talked about earlier in the week, that if you're a billionaire, how do you not spend every single day just trying to make people happy and better? And they said that they've not always been so selfish. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, it's a fair. I mean, there are a lot of wealthy people that are not that.
Of course. And there were some a-holes back then.
Right, right. Like, I think that, I don't know what era we're talking about. Let's go back. I don't know.
They're mostly talking about the late 1800s and the early 1900s.
So you go into that time period. Yeah, there were noble families in Europe that were always pushing and gaining for power and hiding from everybody and taking advantage. And there were others that were treating people well. Like, I think they're just wealthy people in general are, and I don't mean, like, if your wealth starts with an M instead of a B, we're really not talking about you. Like, those are different.
Yeah.
Those are different groups of people, billionaires and millionaires, right? Like, millionaires most of them are very normal people. And most of them pay all of their taxes and
in my
live amongst the rest of us. Yeah.
Because I know a lot of M's. They're typically very charitable.
Yes.
More than B's.
Yes. Because they're closer to being not that.
Well, if you have $10 million, if you have $100 million, you're still closer to being homeless than you are a billionaire.
Yes, exactly. That's my point, is that even if you're a multi-millionaire, even if you're a professional athlete that's made $400 million.
Look at Antonio Brown.
You are still far more connected to the average person around you than Elon or Bezos, yeah, or the owner of the team. And I'll tell you this, you know, everybody in that, but even everybody in that group is different. You know, like I totally understand that, which is why we only talk mostly about the people that are publicly out there and doing things that you're like, why are you even bothering? You've won. You know, there are plenty of billionaires that know they've won and act like they've won and treat it that way.
Yeah.
It's just that they're not the ones in the news because they're not doing those things.
I'm sure that Musk has given a lot of money. I'm sure Bezos does too. But where's the Carnegie Hall? Or, you know, the...
I'm always fascinated that the goal at that point isn't to grow a legacy that will stand 1,000 years.
Yes.
As opposed to just...
I honestly...
The short-term reward.
I truly believe this. If I had $100 billion... I truly believe I would give away $99 billion of it because I like being a nice guy. I get a lot out of being a nice guy.
Sure.
It would be worth it to me. And I got $1 billion left.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
I just feel like the goal would be much more interesting. Like, I want to go down as the best person of my time. I want to be the champion. I want to be the one that people are still writing stories about 1,000 years from now. I don't know. Maybe I've seen too many movies. Maybe I've seen too many Gladiator movies or something. But think about who we remember.
Yeah.
We don't remember who the richest people were,
yeah,
in Rome. We know who Crassus was, the richest man in the Roman era. We know who he was. But that's not who anybody talks about or writes about or remembers.
Crassus, yeah, right?
Yeah, we know Crassus.
If you know,
we're talking about Crassus in the office.
If you're one of those nerds, yeah, that thinks about Rome every 4 days.
Yeah.
Like, that's a name.
It
like
must be a real thing with dudes.
The richest man in Rome at the time of Caesar was a guy named Crassus. People know that, but who knows? Who do you know more? Crassus or Caesar?
Caesar.
And
I really know Caligula.
And Caesar was not a good guy in many ways either, but because,
yeah,
what he did was more about standing out than it was about gathering for himself. All right. Yeah. Well,
I must admit, I can't explain. Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Friday. George Mayhew is here from St. Louis Magazine. We'll be talking some Valentine's Day. So funny, because one of the most attractive women I've ever known said Valentine's,
mm-hmm,
and it was a deal breaker.
A lot of people do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a deal breaker. Couldn't do it.
A lot of people said
couldn't
that
do supposedly either.
that's one of mine.
Yeah.
I don't like that one.
I have verbal or vocal, whichever it would be, word problems. Like I say Marine when I mean Maureen, and I call the fighting force Maureens, and I sit and
that's,
set.
Yeah. Only morons do that.
Bad, yes. But I feel like if I said supposedly and someone said, you know, it's supposedly, I'd be like, holy crap, I'm sorry. And I'd never say it again. I feel like I need to be corrected.
There's
one
so
time.
Many people say so many things. The broadcasters, people on the air, on TV, on radio, I'm just surprised that they're... You know, director, somebody doesn't say, by the way, it's this.
It's Valentine's.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Man.
And they get away with it for years. I go, God, somebody still hasn't told them.
No names here, but even the last few days, baseball guys talking on satellite radio saying first basemans or third basemans. Like, third baseman is already plural. Don't add an S.
Dears.
Please don't do that. And it was two different people. One was a former player. One was a former manager. Like, guys,
maybe
come on.
Maybe they're trying to change it.
Come on, guys. Let's go.
I might be guilty as charged on that one.
Uh-oh. Don't do it,
no,
George.
But this got brought up with my colleague Sarah Fenske at the magazine. She was doing a podcast, and she was talking about the COMPTROLLER,
yes,
of St. Louis.
Yes.
How do you say it? How do you?
Comptroller.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, comptroller.
Controller. Nope. Don't say the P. And I've always said comptroller.
That's what my mom was.
How about that, though? She didn't. She's been doing it wrong for years.
Oh, wow.
I've been doing it wrong. I didn't know it was controller. There's a P in that. Let's just go ahead and say it. Nope.
You mean she's right? It's controller?
It's she was saying it just like the rest of us, comptroller.
Well, just because Finsky says it.
Yeah. No, she was. I think if you look it up, it says controller.
Wow.
So anyway, yeah.
Who the hell made those stupid silent letter rules?
Yeah, yeah.
But also, then it sounds exactly like the word controller.
It does.
Yes. Like, well, yeah, because that's what it says on the pronouncer. It says controller. That, like, I looked it up, and like, well, that's then it's the same word but spelled differently with different meanings. Yeah, that's annoying.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say the P just so you know which one it is.
Right, that's right. Put it in context like that way. I agree. Let's just stick with it.
Even if it's wrong, it still helps.
We're solving problems here.
It still helps if even though you did it wrong.
So Valentine's.
And I've done with another thing. Speaking of mispronunciations, I've done a whole article on mispronounced. There's one. Mispronounced restaurants, and people just we did a podcast on it, and people just love that stuff because it's fun, it's funny, and you don't want to look like an idiot. You don't want to be saying the name of a restaurant wrong.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's we could do a whole bit on that, but yes, Valentine's Day. There's good news and bad news.
Okay.
Good news is it's still a week away.
Okay.
The bad news is most of the places are still...
It's a week away.
Yeah, it's a week away, and, yeah. And a lot of people have booked up. But that said, it's a two-day holiday this year for all intents and purposes because it's on Friday, and a lot of people would rather go out on Saturday anyway, and they go, you know, let's just go out on Saturday. Let's do it on Saturday. And somebody asked me, they said, well, you know, who does the Saturday thing? I said, all the people that can't get in on Friday, obviously. So that's so long story short, yes, there's still time to get into restaurants. A lot of them are sold out, but we did an article, as we always do, and it's just amazing all the different places that chime in, and they try to get in the game. I'm doing this, we're doing that, we're doing this a little differently, and there's a bunch this year that are novel.
Before you say any, that was my question. Do you personally prefer, honey, we're going upscale, we're going to Cap Grill, we're going to Tony's, or do you like the novel?
Novel. I'm a novel guy, but I'm a food guy. I see all that stuff all the time. So novel always interests me because I appreciate the creativity, and it's kind of like, this could be a bust. We don't know what we're getting here. So I kind of like that. Capital Grill's pretty darn predictable. Nothing wrong with that. But anyway, yeah, so novel is fun. There's... we were talking about this a little bit off the air at Five Star Burgers in Clayton, which is a burger joint run by my former partner and good friend, Steve Gontram, who's a fine dining chef.
Mm-hmm.
He owned Harvest along with me and a couple other guys.
Is that his main place now?
Yes.
Okay.
And, he got out of Harvest and got into the burger business and has been very happy doing burgers from all this fine dining stuff. He also opened a place called No Ordinary Rabbit a couple weeks ago. And it's, now he's back to fine dining. But anyway, back to Five Star Burgers. So I think last year he decided to do something different, kind of in the White Castle vein. I think he threw some tablecloths down and some candles and turned down the lights and says, we're doing foie gras burgers and caviar or something. I don't exactly remember what it was. So I talked to him this year. I said, what are you going to do this year? And he said, you might think I'm crazy, but I'm going to recreate the Harvest menu at Five Star Burgers.
That's a lot of work.
And anybody that remembers Harvest will appreciate that because that was a lot of finesse and a lot of artistic.
That's what I'm saying.
If you remember, Harvest was one of the first places, it was the first place to stack everything on top of itself. Instead of having the meat here and the protein, the meat here and the potatoes here and the vegetable in three different spots, everything was kind of shingled and placed artistically. And everybody, this was a California thing at the time in the 90s, and everybody just went berserk. It was like we've recreated food. Anyway, so we'll see some of that on Valentine's Day if you go to Five Star Burgers, and I think he's got the menu up, the menu's online, and I recognize the lamb shank and I recognize the hanger steak. Steve is the guy that introduced St. Louis to hanger steak, for gosh sakes. So anyway, I just think that kind of stuff is really fun, and you don't make reservations on Resy or Talk. He's an old school. You call him up and he puts your name in the reservation book, just like we used to in the old days. So
before we move on or do more on Five Star, that whole thing stacking the food, deconstructed this and deconstructed that, and seafoam yogurt, blah. Is that an era like skinny jeans and it's past, or is that just an evolution that we're continuing to do?
I think it's an evolution. I think it was a thing for a while. Everybody started doing it, and then people got away from it and did just the opposite. Then it became deconstructed, and you had... everything was separate, you know, instead of lasagna, you'd have the noodles on one part of your plate and the sauce here and the cheese here. And it's like, this is not lasagna anymore. Come on. But so it kind of fell apart. But man, at the time, I just remember people would just, we'd set those plates down and they just couldn't believe how cool it was. So
that's neat.
Anyway, yeah. At Madrina, they're doing something fun, too. They're doing a vintage Valentine, they're calling it, right? And you'll appreciate this, Dave. They've got a cart, and they're wheeling this cart around the restaurant, and it's got prime rib on it. And,
oh, I love that. I was hoping you'd say that.
And it's a prime rib cart, and, you know, you want prime rib?
Like Lowry's in Chicago.
Yeah. And the guy's there with the knife, and it's like sliding it up the roast. Like, you tell me when to stop, and I'll make that cut.
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome? That's you can have a skinny little cut, or you can have a big one.
That's two nice. Inch, give me an end cut.
Yeah, give me a two-inch block, a hunk of meat.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's fun.
Do we have anything like that that operates year-round?
No. And you know, prime rib's a very, very expensive item, and you can't have that stuff. If you cook it, you got to sell it, or else you got a lot of prime rib sandwiches the next day. So that's why you don't see it. If it doesn't sell, it becomes a very expensive leftover. But, you know, they've got some lobster thermidor and some other sort of old school type, you know, these vintage entrees at Madrina. So everything's going to be old school and like it used to be. But I just would like to go there just mm-hmm. to see how that prime rib
thing
works.
You should do that more often.
I think so, too. And I bet it's a huge hit, and I think they'll do great with it. So that's one thing. One of my favorite places that no longer serves dinner is going to serve dinner on Valentine's Day, and it's Bowood by Niche over in the Central West End. Just a beautiful restaurant. And... you know, there's a 4-course tasting menu, and it's $75 a person. It's you know, competitively priced for sure. But as I thought, I said, "Oh, I can't wait to mention this place." And I checked it before I came, and it's sold out except for 1 3-top at 5:30. And I thought, that's an odd time for a really. That's kind of an interesting. You know, yeah. I'll just leave everybody, yeah. you know, to think about that. But
I like it.
I'm sure it'll go. But I want to see. I'd love to see who
you
those
mean
three.
Wheels.
Wouldn't that be great? So, I bet you're not a go out on Valentine's.
Nah, never have been.
I bet Wheels isn't either.
No.
Yeah.
I bet Rachel
we'll
isn't
go
either.
Out. We'll go out either before or after.
Yeah, I'm fine with staying home. I like to avoid the crowds. It's just, I mean, isn't it the busiest night of the year?
It's the busiest night of the year, and it's, you know, as the restaurant people call it, it's rookie night. It's a lot of people that don't go out, but
right.
a couple times a year come out. So it's everybody's a little out of their element, and yeah. it's crazy and it's busy and a lot of. I'm the same way. I just as soon. You know, I was present at a lot of them, and it's just like New Year's Eve. And now that I don't have to do it anymore, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Like, my band played at the Hyatt, the old Adams Mark, 8 years in a row for New Year's Eve, and it just changed New Year's Eve for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't home for 8 years.
Yeah.
You know?
And you get used to it, and then when you kind of get your life
you don't know
you
what
go,
to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a great. I mean, the restaurant people just love when it falls on the weekend like this. So this is gravy for them. So they're all excited. So yeah, so in the magazine or in the online, there's probably 40 or 50 restaurants with some interesting specials, and you know, one of them's. You know, the caterers, the art of entertaining. You know, you can sit at home and get it delivered to you.
Now you're talking.
You know, you can go pick it up. It's a, you know, they've got it all prepared. You just warm it up. But you don't have to do that. You don't have to get off your, you can just call them on the phone and say, I am too lazy to even come over there. Yeah. Come deliver this
gonna
to me.
You're going
to
say fat ass, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. I was looking right at you.
Promote the podcast.
we are doing, this is fun. It's Valentine's time, so last year at this time we did romantic restaurants, and we didn't want to exactly repeat them, so how do you kind of stay in the game and not... So Cheryl and I decided to do sexy restaurants. So we did our favorite sexy restaurants and what constitutes a sexy restaurant versus a romantic restaurant.
Yeah.
Were we successful? You'll have to listen and find out. But a lot of it has to do with lighting. You turn the lights down to zero and put
instantly
a few candles
sexier
in there, and it's sexy, baby.
Mentioned texting Trish earlier. She asked me what band and what song was playing. It was the Black Keys.
Yeah.
And that's another one. She's always like, what is that? I'm like, Black Keys, you got to get into them. They're
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I've always liked Spoon.
Yeah, Spoon is awesome. I saw them, gosh, 2 years ago at Stiefel. I've seen them at Lou Fest, like when Lou Fest was still a thing. They are an incredible band to see live. And they're just fun. They're just like a nice, solid rock band, you know? You want to do Flashback Friday?
Let's do it.
All right. 100, oh, excuse me, let me not do this one. 85 years ago, in 1940, Walt Disney's animated film Pinocchio premiered in New York.
That Nightmare fuel.
Oh, it scared me so bad as a kid.
It's awful. Just awful. I get Pinocchio and Peter Pan mixed up because they're both horrific, which is the one where they go to the island and the boys get turned into donkeys.
That's Pinocchio.
Yeah.
That's Pinocchio?
Yeah.
Disney's Peter Pan is not scary.
Okay.
I don't think so anyway.
It's not scary. It's just like one of those things like, why are we always trying to take kids away from their parents in these movies?
Yeah, because
the parents either die or, you know, we got to escape.
82 years ago in 1943, due to a shortage of leather during World War II, the U.S. began rationing shoes. They limited consumers to 3 pairs per person for the remainder of the year. Man, just the idea of rationing things, don't you think Americans these days would go nuts if we were told, like, hey, try to do meatless Mondays where
you
don't
eat meat.
Look
what we did with toilet paper, man.
Yeah.
People are gutting places of toilet paper because, oh my God.
76 years ago in 1949, Joe DiMaggio signed with the Yankees for $100,000, the first six-figure contract in the major leagues. That's when baseball was still good, right, Wheels?
Yeah, it was still great when they were making money like that. I don't know.
61 years ago in 1964, the Beatles arrived at New York's Kennedy Airport for their first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. It was also the day that Baskin-Robbins introduced the ice cream flavor Beetle Nut. Did you ever have that?
No.
I wonder if this is a joke they put in there because I've never heard of it before.
That sounds
so
terrible.
I was in the universe when the Beatles played Ed Sullivan.
Uh-huh.
So my mom watched it with me in her belly.
All right.
Yeah.
So you heard it?
So I heard it. Yeah.
Maybe that's where that seed was planted.
Could be.
Yikes.
Yikes. Ouch. Seems like the seed was planted about 2 months before that.
Well, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about the Beatles.
Okay. Dave heard it in his mom's tummy.
Yeah, so that's like, okay. I'm going to be a Beatles fan.
Sorry to take it to the gutter.
No, that was great. Well
that's
played, Rach. No, yeah,
I'm always dragging
damn it,
us
Rachel,
down.
You
dirty
know,
man, Rach.
We ran such a highbrow show when you were on vacation.
Yeah, it really was above board.
Yeah, I mean, we're just, you know, caviar
she wasn't always like all day like am I right, am
we even dressed up nice.
That's what she said. Okay. 51 years
she took
ago
that on the road to Japan.
Yeah, they were like, please stop with this, get this woman out of here. 51 years ago in 1974, Blazing Saddles was released.
Oh, so I was 10 when I saw it.
First image from that movie, go
fart scene. Eating beans around the fire. I laugh so hard.
I have that one, and then Alex Kerr is punching a horse.
Yes.
Mongo.
Yes.
Yep.
25 years ago in 2000, with an astonishing comeback at the Pebble Beach National Pro-Am, Tiger Woods got his 6th straight PGA Tour victory, becoming the first player since Ben Hogan in 1948 to win 6 in a row.
Hmm.
What an amazing life Tiger Woods has had.
Yeah.
Just like the
ups and downs.
So many ups and downs. So many.
But for a time, was just everything.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like doing things that nobody had ever done before at the age that he was doing them. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's hard to describe how dominant he was during that time.
He was the first, I'm sure, that Lee Trevino and all those guys were great athletes.
Not like him.
But not like him.
No.
He was the first athlete that could have played any sport that played golf to me. To me.
I mean, at least with the way that he worked out. He really was the innovator in that regard. He was one of the early ones to get in on the lifting and doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
13 years ago in 2012, Van Halen released their 12th album, A Different Kind of Truth. Either of you guys listen to that one?
I love that record.
Really?
Are you serious?
It is fantastic.
Is that the one with Gary Cherone?
No, that was in college, man. That was in the 90s. No, this was the last one they did with Dave. They got together with Dave, did it in studio, and it's awesome, man. It's a lot like the old stuff.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, you should listen to it. If you like the old, it's not as good. Nothing can be as good as what they were, you know, in the 70s and early 80s with Dave. The Sammy stuff was separate. I almost look at that as a separate band. But A Different Kind of Truth is legitimately good.
Yeah, I'll check it out. No, I won't.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nix Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.